Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. John Wadsworth talking to you live at 2 p.m. in the afternoon in Central Standard Time in an undisclosed location in Pearl River, Louisiana. Hope you're having a wonderful day and that the Lord has made. I want to talk to you a little bit, a few minutes, about why our radio station is called Whitestone. And it's a reference to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." So this is a why it's called, because of Revelation 2:17. We call it Whitestone Radio. And it was given to those that had overcome. The things that were addressed, Jesus addressed or confronted the church of Pergamos, and this was less than 100 years after Jesus had resurrected, pretty much less than 70 years. And it can show you how much can happen within one generation, you know, like Christianity is one generation from being extinct. That's why we need to tell people about Jesus. Tell them the truth. Tell them in love that they need Christ. They don't need religion. And that was kind of the problem that they were having in Pergamos. Pergamos had three mythological gods that they worshiped there in Pergamos. So it was a big center for idol worship, or let's say mythology. And one in these types of worships, they would have what they call temple priestess, and actually they were prostitutes. And it says that here, it says in verse, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Now, this was done in the Old Testament when Balaam was hired by Balak to curse the nation of Israel. They were in the wilderness, and here comes a 2 million people that wandered in the wilderness, and they were coming to Balak next, and so he wanted to have them cursed because he knew what would happen. Well, every time Balaam would get up there and stand up there on top of the mountain to give him a curse, he'd bless him. And that happened a few times. Well, Balak said, "Look, I'm paying you good money, and I'm not getting anything for my money. You're blessing these people instead of cursing them." And Balaam says, "Well, I can't. I cannot curse these people. God won't let me. So, but I can tell you one thing which you can do. You can make it so that God has to punish them because of their behavior." Well, part of their religion, Balak's religion, part of it is fornication and adultery. And they'd have those little idols that they would stand up when they would commit the fornication. And so Balaam says, "Look, have you girls, young pretty girls go in there with their little idols and seduce the men of Israel, and God will have to punish them. God will have to, and because he cannot He doesn't change. And so Balak did that. And the little girls would go in there and flirt with the Israelis men, and then they would succumb to the temptations. The girls would bring their little idols and part of their, let's say, foreplay, and part of their the whole sexual act was have the place smelling good and looking good, and had the idols set up with the candles under the idols and all of that. And that's their form of worship. They were worshiping their God. This was the temptation, and this is what Jesus was confronting the church of Pergamos about, because they were practicing this. They were allowing it, and they were practicing it. Now, they weren't the only one, as you know, in Corinthians. And Corinthians were guilty of this, and it was the same thing. The Corinthians in the city had these temples that these priests would hang out in, and they would do the same thing. So that was the Old Testament, and Jesus is saying, hey, nothing's changed. This is just a New Testament of an Old Testament practice. And he says, we're not going to have it in this congregation. It's got to be addressed. And he pretty much says in verse 16, he tells them what to do about it. He says, repent. Verse 16, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And that's the word of God. And that's the word of God. He says that in Hebrews. That it's sharper. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And that was the most popular. Now I'm going from symbolism to what the Roman soldiers used, a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword was where you could cut, you stab somebody, and then when you bring it out, you're still cutting them. Because every if you block the sword, throw at you, you would come back with that two-edged sword, and you'd be able to cut them even while you're blocking. So it was a very popular and powerful sword, and so is the word of God. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to use the word of God on you to straighten y'all out. But then again, as Jesus always does, he says in verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name. So what's he going to give him? Why is a white stone so prevalent or so well known? And he's making this as a token of victory. Well, overcoming, give you the victory. Overcoming, the Greek word for overcoming is hypernike. Well, it's not exactly the way I'm pronouncing it like that. Let me see if I can, it's called Nike. I'm sorry. It's Nike or Nikeo. Nikeo, where the word Nike comes from. A conqueror. Overcomer. And so that's why the white stone is chosen, because it's for those that overcome. And we have struggles in life, we have temptations in life, and we fall in life and we go into sin. But Jesus is saying, he that overcomes, I will give a white stone. And what happens there is that when you overcome, you become stronger to that temptation next time, and you become more aware of that temptation next time. Now, why the white stone? The white stone was given as a symbol of not guilty or of freedom, of acquittal. When a jury would go out during a trial, they would come back and they would have a white or a black stone. If you had a black, if they would put forth a black stone, well, that would mean that you're guilty. If they brought forth a white stone, you would be not guilty. And so what was is that when you confess your sins to Jesus Christ, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus. What verse is that? I'm thinking of 1 John. I was quoting another one, but I was thinking of 1 John. Let me get there. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, I think it is. Yeah. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we confess our sins, that's what God wants you to do. He says, now, Jesus said, repent. Well, that's another word for confessing. Repentance is I confess that was sin. I acknowledge that was sin. I agree with you, Lord, that is sin. So that when you do that, the Lord automatically cleanses you and by the blood of Christ. He acknowledges that, and your confession of to him and acknowledgement of the blood of Christ, you are cleansed. But you're not just cleansed. You are in that sin, from that sin. So that's why the white stone is given. You give that white stone, you carry that white stone around with you, and it proves that you are not guilty. Now, people might still say, well, I know you did such and such. Yeah, but in the eyes of God and the way you your new lifestyle and behavior proves that you have been forgiven and you're not guilty in the eyes of God, and he has given you strength not to fall into that sin again. Now, this is prevalent wherever you go. It's even prevalent today, and, of course, in our culture. There's nothing wrong with adultery. There's nothing wrong with fornication. There's nothing wrong with homosexuality or sodomy, transgender, whatever. Nothing wrong with those things. And it's all an attack on God, the Creator. And God says, repent. And for the believer, he says, don't get caught up in the culture that you're in and go along with it. Come out of it. And if you have fallen into it, confess your sin, and God will cleanse you of it. And that's just so that you will have, let's say you won't be overcome by it again, but you'll be cleansed and strengthened. And when you're cleansed, this draws you closer to Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, and I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So ask God to cleanse you, confess it to Jesus. Yeah, that's sin, Lord. I was committing fornication, adultery, whatever, and I confess it, and I know you're going to cleanse me and strengthen me. And once you do that, God's going to give you that white stone. And you're going to know that you're not guilty, you're acquitted, and you're free from that sinful behavior. My name is Dr. John. If I can help you, please feel free to communicate with us, White Stone Ministry, on Facebook. Or you can call me at 985-789-5988.